Idle Red Hands, a podcast from Japan about gaming and gamer life.
Hi, I'm Lyle.
I'm Chris.
I'm Wayne.
I'm Yujiro.
All right, guys. Well, so I don't know if you guys noticed, I had a little work done on my front tooth.
It's glinting. Yeah, glinting at me.
So for the listeners, I may sound a touch more handsome this episode. So.
Oh, all right. That was pretty good.
Big news for me. I finally finished the MechWarrior Dark Ages and Battletech series.
Now, which is the bigger news, that you got your teeth fixed or that you finished Battletech?
You know, actually kind of both prompted by the same, you know, rush with mortality. Basically, when my lymph nodes started swelling and I thought I had cancer.
I see.
Yeah. No, they swelled because you touched them so often checking them, I think is what happened.
Well, it turns out I have hypochondria, but...
Is it a symptom of that swollen lymph nodes?
I don't know. I like how when I sent the mail, like, after you guys never, like, asked about my lymph nodes at all, and then I said, oh, you know, it's not cancer. I didn't even get... Well, that's good. I didn't get anything. I got nothing. Anyway. But that kind of, like, you figure, I've been, like, kind of saving... the books, you know, kind of piecing them out, you know, don't read them all at once, kind of, you know, prolonging the pleasure, I guess you could say. But then when you're like, oh, I might die, well, I better finish this off.
Yeah. It really prompts a lot of activity there, huh?
But then when you think about it, you're like, oh, well, you know, after I die, what, am I going to remember this?
Can I get that at your eulogy? And he finished Battle.
So you thought you were going to die in...
Nah, like I just like...
Battletech?
No. Well,
you know, when you go on the...
Exactly, good point, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, what was on my list, the things
I was
going to
say, what else was on your list?
Like, most
people have... Oh, okay, fine, all right. I was going to say, most people have a list of, like...
Well, the pyramids aren't on my bookshelf, so it's not like I could just grab those. Oh, you know, you got to buy a plane ticket to get there.
So, in other words, it's on your list, but it's too much work to do.
Anyway, it was fantastic. The book, it ended on a high, like MechWarrior Dark Ages and Battletech Anthology.
Well.
The Corpse, Volume 1. Hopefully there's a Volume 2.
So you didn't finish the series?
I guess they're coming out with a new Battletech book this month, according to Wikipedia, but according to Amazon, it's not listed yet.
Well,
but,
you better start eating healthier.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, I don't know if my health will hold up. Can you guys just wrap everything up? Anyway, it was good. I really recommend those series. Maybe you've never asked to borrow any of those books, but the offer's there. Yeah,
I might borrow them. You've given me good books in the past. I have to say, I think I'm a little bit turned off to Battletech from that one Battletech game we played that just took like 5 hours.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry.
Next one will be better.
All right. I guess the only news I have is in an effort to pulp it up, as Chris said, I finally watched Sky Captain and The World of Tomorrow.
I like that.
I don't know if the mic will pick that up, but that was Chris just yawning. Okay. I was telling you earlier, I'm still kind of, the jury's still out for me. I don't know. Like, it had elements that I really liked, but it might be one of those films that I enjoy more the second time I see it.
Really good premise, like, really nice, it looks nice, but mm-hmm. The story just wasn't... That didn't grab me at all.
Really?
Yeah.
Like the atomic Superman robots and the spaceship, and that didn't grab
little
you?
Little like Spitfires going through New York, or the hurricanes
that's what I said,
going
exactly,
through New York.
That's one thing that should have been freaking awesome, but it just kind of didn't excite me all that much.
Really?
Yeah.
I like Jude Law. I think he pulled off that role really well. And Giovanni Ribisi. I think he's always good in a movie. Like, I wouldn't make him the star of any movie, but... If you have him in a supporting role, he's always going to be a good value.
Hmm.
I really enjoyed that. It's a lot of fun. Yeah, you got the big...
big robots?
No, what was it? The British fleet? And the giant helicarriers
or
whatever,
awesome.
Like S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yeah.
Ah, a little awesome, yeah.
Well,
then when they go down underwater.
Yeah,
and
Manta Squadron.
Yeah. Like, I liked almost every element in the movie, but the movie itself didn't do much for me.
No, it's good. Actually, when Wayne was talking about pulp and he was talking about Indiana Jones, I was wondering just how like how wide he was going to throw that pulp net. Like, is Doc Savage okay, or Mr. Men okay, and Sky Captain style?
Well, the Sky Captain World Tomorrow, which I'd wanted to see for a while anyway, was in the inspiration section of the Hollow Earth Expedition book, which I'll be running. So I'm kind of not going down the list, but I'm going to be obviously watching movies that are on there, and or series that are on there. Yeah, Doc Savage and The Shadow. And
I heard the movie, though, is quite bad.
Okay.
There's a 70s movie, and it was like really, really, really panned. Mm-hmm. So maybe just focus on the books, because they reprinted those books up until... Well, they might be reprinting them now, but...
I don't know.
I gotta say, I'm really looking forward to the campaign.
You know, it's completely different now.
I don't care. I'm still playing a fat man on a motorcycle.
With a whip.
Absolutely.
All right.
He's combined all the characters in Indiana Jones into one amazing character. With a German accent.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Nah, I think of all the accents that I have to pick, it'll probably be Short Round for that.
Okay. Yeah. Mr. Jones.
Anyway,
yeah. I'm just trying to think of how you would combine Short Round with a Nazi Batman.
Wow.
Mr. Jones,
we make you talk.
Not where I had thought this conversation would go, so I'll just end it right there.
No, it's good. What
characters were you guys planning on doing? Are you going to take Indy?
Well, I don't know why I got pegged to be Indy. I never said that. I actually picked Short Round.
Yeah, no, I believe you picked Long Square.
Long Square.
We are not playing Indiana Jones.
But you know,
not if I admit.
You know, to be honest, if it's open, I might actually pick a Mystery Man or a Sky Captain, like something like that.
I'll tell you this now. It is sort of as mundane as it can be, so there is no like superpowers or anything. Yeah.
Even though like I'm supposed to jump over cliffs as a fat man on a motorcycle.
I didn't say
that. That was in your own email.
Or maybe clips. Little bowl clips.
I did say you
that
also
was a tough one. I made it.
Remember, I said you could also walk across the log that had fallen.
High adventure there.
Yes, high adventure.
Exciting. Yeah. Watch him walk.
Yeah. Anyway, all right.
Yeah, anyway.
Well, actually, it's good that Wayne brought that up, because we are going to be talking about character creation.
Yes.
This episode. So basically, you know, how do we prepare when we make characters? Or I guess, you know, what do we hope our players do when they prepare characters for campaigns that we're running? So, and you're talking about this on Hollowed Earth, and I like when games do that and they list like inspiration. It's Hollowed Earth? Hollowed Earth.
Hollow Earth Expedition.
Hollow Earth. Yeah. Hollow Earth.
H-E-X.
Yeah, White Wolf's really good about that, where they, GURPS is good when they, in their world books, and they'll list like...
Cyberpunk was really good with that back in the day.
Oh, they would actually say, watch these movies, read these books.
Yeah.
And I think that's really good, not only for the game master, but also for the players, is basically researching it. And I think that's, I mean, I can't sell that point enough, is that you really got to research. If you want to be a con artist, like, watch those movies.
Excellent example there.
Yeah, which happens to be a character I'm currently playing. But, you know, I put in the work. You know, I watch Grifters. I did not want to watch that movie. And after I watched it, I'm not better for having done so. But, I mean, it had some extra cons in there.
See, that's interesting, because I put in almost no research when I make characters.
Yeah.
And you were trying very hard not to say it shows, weren't you?
Yeah. And maybe after this episode, you will. You know, I watched Matchstick Man when you go on to Wikipedia. And I think now in the internet age, everybody's got access to Wikipedia and stuff. Like, there's no excuse not to put in a little bit of time. If you're going to be a doctor, if you're going to be a cardiologist.
And there wasn't a dig at you.
And I just happened to be looking at the guy
who
plays a doctor.
You know, I'm not a real doctor, but I play one in the game, you know.
And how does cons turn out for you, then?
I mean, yeah, no, I don't want to bring up
painful memories of the DM being a terrible
person. You also might want to advise everybody else to read and do research on your con artists, but when no one believes that it's actually a legitimate con. Yeah, I should have interrupted the game and brought up Wikipedia. Like, read that!
I think you almost did, too.
Yeah, I was getting to that point.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I feel like a terrible DM now.
Anyway, we're not here to rehash old.
So what kind of research did you do for which character are you talking about? The con artist guy from Changeling, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So as a con artist, what all did you do?
Like he just said he watched all those movies.
Yeah. But how did you apply that to your character? Like what did you decide to take and what did you decide to do?
Well, he actually came from The Mentalist. Okay. Like, I don't want to get too into this is my character kind of stories, but I came from The Mentalist and just thought, oh, that would be a cool character. Mm-hmm. People see The Mentalist, he's basically a reformed con artist, one of those fake psychics who's now helping the police. And I thought, well, let's stop before he's reformed. And basically, he's a con artist, fake psychic, which I haven't been able to bring into the game yet.
Because you have actual magical powers.
Well, yes. So I did become a psychic. But then I thought, well, I'd really be interested in that, but I don't want to... He kind of brings it up. He's in as a detective, so he's detecting lies and things like that. And I didn't just want to focus on that. I wanted to actually steal things. So then I watched Matchstick Men and Wikipedia of some classic cons and stuff like that. And I remembered a book I read called American Gods by Neil Gaiman.
Never heard of it.
And actually the con I tried to do in the game comes from that book, but it's actually a real con, which I was reduced to screaming in the game, this is a real con, stop saying it's stupid.
What was the con for the listeners at home?
Basically, it was an ATM night deposit box, drop box.
Yeah.
Where basically you say it's out of order. And then you give receipts to people that come up, and they give you the money, and you give them a receipt. You're dressed as a bank guard and things like that. And yeah, it's not going to work 100% of the time. And actually, it'll work a very low percentage of the time. But the fact is,
it does work.
It has worked in the past, and it worked in this book. Yeah. So I thought that'd be quite fun and amusing to do. People beg to differ, but I think. Not when you do research into like a role, and that happened to be like I guess a con artist is a career. I think you feel more empowered as a character. Mm-hmm. It's just funny. This wasn't part of my research for this episode, but I want to see Wall Street, Money Never Sleeps, which I guess is coming to Japan.
One
this
of my students
month.
Was talking about that today. Yeah,
is it in Japan?
I think she was saying at the end of the week, maybe.
Oh, okay.
Maybe.
So now the previews are starting up. So I went and checked Wikipedia on that and skipped the plot, of course, but I like to read, you know, the production,
yeah,
how it came about. And I was reading that, like, Shia LaBeouf, he knew nothing about economics or the financial market and that, so he decided to research that and hang out with those guys, and I think he actually now has a broker license or something like that.
Wow.
Now, I haven't seen the movie, and you can, you know, people after Transformers 2 might have, or Indiana Jones, might have a pretty low opinion of his acting. But, like, however good or bad he will be in that movie, I think he's going to be better after having done all that research. I don't know what trades he does in the thing, but I think that probably empowers him, that he can better embrace that role or kind of go inside that role. So I think that's another good example where you hear actors do that all the time. And I think, yeah, I mean, these people, I guess, are the professional role players. So
yeah.
I think that's really, you know, I think that's a good example to follow. I mean, like, jobs is easy because, yeah, you could do an investigator if you want to be the guy who's a crime scene expert.
Yeah, it didn't work out too well for me.
but then watch CSI or something like that, because then you can actually... almost like outfox the game master, because you're like, oh, I actually check here.
Uh-huh.
And then they're like, well, why would you check there? Because that's what CSI people do. And then, you know, then the person might actually think, okay, I'm going to give you a little bit more because you're not just relying on the rolls. You're not walking into the room, searching it, and rolling.
Yeah, that in your vampire game, I play the investigator guy, and that did help on one occasion and backfired on a couple occasions as well. But the security cameras.
And I think that's when your character, if we became an investigator. Mm-hmm. Is like, because then you were thinking, I mean, it was on an island, so you can't really, I searched the island, make one roll.
Yeah.
I mean, we could have done it.
I would like to.
Yeah, we'll make this an extended action. You know? and just keep rolling. But then when you did that, we could just skip it all. Like, yeah, all right, let's get the, and I actually didn't think of the camera in that particular point. So I thought, oh, okay, the suspect or the murderer, the assassin, he didn't think of that either.
Yeah.
So then you kind of can help, you can reward your player, like, yeah, that was really clever.
So I guess not to go off on a tangent there, but yeah. that's a really good point. Like you said, you hadn't thought of that as the game master. And
well, as the that particular NPC.
All right, but I mean...
So then I thought, well, then the game master wouldn't have thought of that. Or obviously hadn't. So I'm not going to, like...
Yeah, say it didn't change happen.
Change it, you know,
right.
or, you know, oh, there is no camera there. I was but like, it, yeah, there... Yeah.
Well, yeah, that just makes sense.
Yeah, but it also... made for a better story.
Well, it you helped know? You guys get
yeah,
that
it
break.
Helped us get that yeah. break, and obviously, if I had, I guess, done a better job, the con that your changeling character attempted to do, rather than just kind of failing, because I thought people would be too smart, I probably just should have let it happen and introduced something else along with it to kind of not progress the story, but at least make some... The cops or like make something interesting happen, right? So I guess yeah.
Yeah, I mean it's surprising what research can open. What doors it can open. Like if for example, if you did a superhero, like there's not really superheroes out there. But you can like, well, if you're going to be a speedster, like read a comic, read comics about speedsters. Mm. I mean, it's going to give you ideas on different power stunts. Or I know we've talked about this before. I mean, kind of like, if you were a speedster, how would you view the rest of the world? Because it's going much slower than you. And a good example would be Peter David's run on X Factor, where he shows how Quicksilver, the speedster character on that, when he's talking to the psychiatrist Doc Samson and saying that the world for him is like standing in line. A very slow-moving line at the bank, and that's what every second of every day is for him. And you're like, wow, that gives us some insight into that character. And then you're like, well, if I was a speedster, is that how I'm going to view the world? And you can choose to take or leave that, but it might give you a little bit extra to your character that maybe you didn't think of before, and you could kind of add that. Maybe you're now kind of this... more an obnoxious character.
Yeah, that is interesting.
So really maybe cool people point. Wouldn't appreciate that.
But appreciate it or not, it makes the character interesting.
Yeah.
Well, that's something, though, that like all characters need some kind of catch. Like that's, they just make a bland guy like me. You know, it's just not interesting.
Yeah, but your catch is you're always happy all the time. I mean, that's a catch right there.
Yeah, I still don't believe that. I'll talk to people saying, "Oh, this that Chris is a, what's he really like?"
Yeah, I get that
I have
too.
A post that I beat up at home. Yeah.
I think he's keeping it all in. I'm just waiting
what
for
what
him
I
to
do
explode.
Is I just take all of my rage and I compress it into a little white ball, and I just hold it there.
Yeah. About research. Getting back to research. Yeah, jobs. I guess some jobs are obviously easier to research than others.
Yeah.
But like the example you brought before, stuff. I think some stuff you couldn't research or would have trouble researching.
Like what?
Since we were talking about a vampire, like my vampire character, who I set up to be like this ultimate seducer, which is sort of completely at odds with me. I didn't know where to go to pick up seduction techniques. I mean...
You ever heard of the game?
Well, you could ask me, but...
No, okay, I didn't think about that. I didn't think about that. But yeah, I thought about, like, obviously, like, checking the internet and then didn't, thinking of all the crap I would turn up and how it sort of, you know, wouldn't be helpful or... So, yeah.
Well, what kind of research do you do when you build a character?
It's tough to say. Basically, I researched the world.
Wow, that's a lot of research.
Well, okay, not like the world, but I mean like the setting of the game.
Like, yeah, again, my vampire character, I did a lot of reading of the vampire book, obviously, and...
I remember that, like, when we were talking about doing the Dark Ages vampire game, like, you nearly became an expert on the Dark Ages. You read, like, what was a 600-page book on it?
Well, no, it was actually a pretty small book, but it was dense in terms of, like, history.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually read books on the Middle Ages.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then to find out that...
I don't know how you guys did it. I would have put me to sleep in the first 10 pages.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you can imagine my disappointment when he decided not to play the Dark Ages game.
But think of how knowledgeable you are now in the Middle Ages.
Yeah, boy, I'm really busting that out in modern-day L.A.
Yeah, all right.
Which you decided to change the game to.
Well, I mean, think of all those conversations about the Middle Ages you have at work. And, you know,
yeah.
Okay, point taken.
But, so you do yours mostly setting-based, then?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, I would do it mostly setting-based. Okay. And
I think, yeah, there's a lot of ways, like, researching a setting can enrich your character. Like, if you're going to be a cleric, I mean, obviously, you'll probably have a pretty high religion stat.
You'll be outclassed by the wizard.
Yeah, outclassed by the wizard. You could just roll it and then constantly look to the DM to feed you what it is. But basically, you're just making a roll to make the dungeon master look up a piece of information in the book. But, you know, read the Player's Handbook or Dungeon Master's Guide or whatever book about the different religions that are in that world. So then, yeah, you could just bust that out whenever you need that.
Well, if
you're going to be the expert on religion, be the expert on religion.
Yeah, I'll say I agree with that, but in I think in a very kind of like specific setting, say a vampire, versus the very generic setting, I think it's an ugly word, the vanilla setting of standard D&D 4E.
I think it's kind of ugly, too, isn't it?
Yeah, I think generic is an ugly word, which is
why... Or is it vanilla, kind of?
All right, fine.
Bland?
Okay, yeah, it's bland. All right, fine. All right, the open setting of... Like,
just for the vanilla fans. Yeah, actually, I like vanilla. I got vanilla cream cookies right now.
So anyway, to make my point...
Yeah.
If we let you.
if you let me, which I'm fully used to not being allowed.
Okay, generic, vanilla, please go.
So there's only so much you can research in an open setting, and it's open because... stuff is supposed to be dropped in. So, yeah, on the one hand, in the specific setting, you can kind of read something and kind of be knowledgeable about it, and then your character will be knowledgeable about it. But, like, on the other hand, in an open setting, maybe just make something up.
Yeah, no, I can see that.
And look to the DM and say, you know, this is what my character knows. And the DM will either say, yeah, go with it, and you've just added...
Well, you should say, yeah, go
yeah,
with
you
it.
Go, yeah, go with it if you're not me. The DM should say, yes, and, or potentially, no, but, rather than my favorite, no.
Shut up.
I don't think I ever said shut up, but... Anyway.
Yeah.
No, I agree, yeah. I mean, if there is a lot of latitude... Hmm. But, I mean, you find out, like... where the latitude is, and if you can drop stuff in, then do that. Obviously, if you're coming at it from a player perspective, I suppose you'd be relating it somehow to your character.
Your character.
You know, I mean, if you're from this land, and the game master hasn't developed that area, I mean, they're going to only appreciate it all the more.
Yeah.
But I think I since you were contrasting with vampire. Like, I agree, if somebody is the expert on the world or the insider of the particular world, yeah, they're going to have to read about it.
Right.
If they're, you know, a particular covenant and that. But I think also you can still throw in your own stuff.
Oh, definitely.
And the reason is nobody necessarily wants to read a 200 or 300-page book just to play a character.
Wow. So if you could... did exactly that.
Yeah, only be, much more for the Middle
Ages. Only because I like to kind of... Well, hey, I thought the vampire
setting
was
real history,
interesting.
So it kind of felt like...
Yeah, exactly.
Expanding
for,
my horizons.
For Dark Ages, it was real history.
And I actually want to be a con artist. And working on that, so... You know,
I know.
Not wasted time.
So, and like I said before, I'm a detail-oriented person, so it was... For the Dark Ages game, it never happened. It was me wanting to, you know, have that kernel of real history. you know, I didn't want to put a war in the wrong year or have someone in the wrong
time.
Doesn't
matter, man. Really doesn't matter.
Yeah, on the one hand, it doesn't. But on the other hand, if you're going to play in like a, again, it's another wild tangent, in a historical setting, it has to be kind of historical. Otherwise, it's just kind of fantasy, in my opinion. And you're free to disagree, as you obviously
you
do.
Know, I'm thinking like, you know, you're talking about if you want to play in a real history set, that's great, but, you know, we're playing vampires.
Yeah.
There's magic. It's fantasy, but...
You're just still jaded because I mixed all those characters, which I still feel really glad about.
How about you, Yuch? How do you go to character development?
Oh.
Volumes of research?
Nah. What roles need to be filled? That's it. And 4th edition makes it really simple. Striker, defender, leader... What's the other one? Controller. Yeah.
But there's still more to it than that. Like, when you made your rogue guy, like, how'd you come up with him? Why'd you choose rogue versus, you know, ranger or whatever?
Yeah, there's a bunch of strategies.
Again, it goes back to party roles. We need the skill monkey. Skill monkey equals rogue.
Okay.
That's it.
So that was the only consideration you made in building Pokey?
Well, your character. I also wanted to play a warlord, because, yeah. They've got all these powers to, like, shift and pull and control the battlefield, and rogues also have a bit of that, so I was like, oh, rogue.
So you go into character creation kind of like I do, then. Numbers first?
Oh, more like roll first and then numbers.
Okay.
Yeah, the numbers to pull it off, which I think is important in 4th edition, since 4th edition kind of assumes you have an 18 in your primary stat at level 1.
You have to, yeah.
Yeah, if you don't, well, the math really just screws you over.
Yeah, it's true, it's true. But yeah, that's the way I always make characters. I go, at least with D&D, because that's what I'm most familiar with. I go with the numbers first, what kind of class, and where does that take me, what feats, and then build stuff around that. Oh, hey, there's a cool feat about fire stuff. Oh, I'll make a fire mage then.
So going back to roles...
Sorry.
Sorry. See you guys later.
No. I'll get to that in a second. But I'm just curious. Like,
I'll get to you in a second.
Yeah, I'll deal with you later. All right. What in kind of like a roleless game, or not a roleless game, because there's always kind of roles or archetypes. But like, yeah, D&D does have a very defined role in 4th edition. Other games. Don't
like vampire?
Oh. Well, like vampire or other things. So, what for someone who may be very role oriented? What would you do in a game like that?
Well, like in vampire, the mechanic that interested me most was the humanity aspect. You know, maintaining your humanity while doing things that would be considered like
inhumane.
Yeah, exactly. So I was like, oh, yeah, I'll try to make a humane guy who gets turned into a vampire. That's it. It's just, yeah, whatever interesting, like, hook the setting provides, I just kind of, like, latch onto it and go from there.
Does it matter if it's mechanical or fluff?
Oh, it could be fluff, of course. I mean, yeah.
No, I'm asking because I kind of have the same thing. A little bit, like, you find something that interests you, either setting or fluff or mechanics, which is why I said I'd get back to Chris with his feet thing. Like, if you find something that you like and... Yeah, I'll say kind of use that as the core and build your character around it.
Oh, there's nothing. Yeah, sure. Yeah. I mean, if you have like a superhero game, like Mutants and Masterminds or DC Heroes, yeah, most people are going to be, I want to be the speedster or the teleporter or something like that. And then they're going to build from there. Or I guess they could say, I want to be the alcoholic superhero or something like that. Or a lot of times they'll probably just go, I like this character, so I'll try to make him.
Yeah, I want
to
be Batman.
Oh, yeah. God, don't get me started on Batman. But, no, but I think it could be anything. Like, that's, like, how I usually build my characters. You need that one kind of spark of inspiration, and then you just kind of use that as a starting point. And
yeah, you know, to be honest, like, I remember when, because Wayne and I have been in the current Dungeon Dragon the game the longest, so we've seen players drop in and out
constantly.
So when Chris was always, oh, we need a leader, and I just found that, to be honest, kind of a boring way to do it. And I was like, well, just let them be whatever. Like, if they want to be a rogue, let them be a rogue. Or I think there was like, we really needed a leader at one point, so it was, the idea was to try to get a leader, and I was like, ah, whatever.
What?
But then on the other hand, then I would go, but
you know, I don't want another sword guy, because I'm the sword guy.
That was just your ego talking.
That, yeah, so a bit of the ego, but as far as, like kind of a mechanical role, but then a kind of, oh, gosh, I suppose, like, the sword guy, like, more like a role-playing role. Oh, that sounds really stupid. Yeah, what am I trying to say there?
I think you're trying to say you don't want overlap between the
party
roles. I want
to be the man. That's what I'm trying to say. I guess everybody's got to be the man in something, or woman. The one.
Sorry, we don't have any listeners yet. It doesn't matter I suppose the gender of them.
Yeah, I guess zero listeners is genderless. Just like my worldview, I don't know. Anyway, so in a sense, I kind of see about the roles, but... Yeah, I don't approach a game like what role does that particular party mean? That.
Like the roles, the four different roles, they've been good about creating a character class that kind of matches whatever kind of trope that you want to go into within each role.
Yeah,
you could play the sword fighter guy, but still be a controller, leader, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, although I can.
I mean, I would like to help out the party, but then to come at it from. I generally don't come at it from a mechanical point of view. I come at it from like a concept. So, and then we'll fill in the mechanics. I think game like Dungeons and Dragons is great because it's very easy to then plug in all the numbers. Yeah. Whereas like a game like GURPS, a pure point buy system, you really definitely need that concept because it's going to take you a little bit longer to like plug in all the numbers and.
Don't get me wrong. Like I didn't want to say that like the concept is secondary to the numbers, but in order, it's second. Like that's where I usually get my concept is from the numbers.
Sorry, what?
Like as in secondary is like the concept.
The concept isn't second to the numbers, but it actually is second.
No, it's not second. It's not second in importance. It's second in time.
And chronologically, it's second.
Yes, in that I. Choose my numbers first. And
so you would say last but not least. Last but not second.
The silver second, medal award second, goes to?
Second but not least.
All right, anyway, your point is, Chris.
I think I lost it. Yeah. No, I use the numbers to come up with my concept.
But if you don't have the concept, how can you do the numbers?
Well, that's just it. I look at if it's, a random or a point by kind of thing, or I choose whatever the class is first.
But wouldn't you consider right there a concept?
No, not at all.
A pure point by system. Mm-hmm. No way you could do the numbers without the concept.
Yeah, I agree. And Chris just said like concept's kind of like, got a good kind of like I imagine him kind of leafing through D&D 4E.
Yeah.
Looking at the pictures or the powers that say, oh, that's cool. I want to be this. I would see
a person flicking through and go, that class is pretty cool. That's a cool picture.
That's what Jerome did.
Yeah that no, Jerome just
said, wow, dragon! A sword, awesome!
Yeah, but I mean, like, couldn't you argue that that is a concept? Like,
well, I'm not arguing with that. No. I'm saying concept.
Yeah, sure, let's get in the semantics of it. That's
okay. Like, I see, like, yeah, that is
it's a not concept, semantics but. When you're wrong. It's just, you're wrong.
Because, like, yeah,
okay, for example, in a point-by system with Brooke, I decided that I wanted to be an investigator.
That's a concept.
Oh, okay, well, then...
Yeah, right there, you already kind of formed this idea that says, my character will be this.
Oh, okay.
Like...
That's the way I see it. Yes, it's like then you plug in the numbers and then you might see, oh, this particular power is really cool. I like dominate or whatever.
And that's exactly what I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're just saying you start with a very thin concept, you know, maybe like one or two words.
A word.
A word. Investigator.
An elevator pitch.
Yeah, investigator. We're counting articles, okay? And then you start to plug in the numbers and then things might change. Different from how I do it.
What do you consider important when you create a character?
Well, I said research, putting in the research. I think concept is kind of, I think you got to start with the concept and then kind of research that. But with roles, I do think, not necessarily, again, not the mechanical roles. Mm-hmm. But I think it's important to try to think about how you would fit in, whether it's your character's personality, whether your character knows another character, and you work that in prior to starting. I think that makes it a little bit easier when you start the game. So I think that's always neat when you have
some prior relationship with another character. I mean, obviously you tell the other person, oh, by the way, you have a younger brother. By the way, it's me.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. But I better write that into my page and a half long backstory then. Yeah. Thanks.
I thought I was an only child. Okay.
Well, that's always a great gift to the DM, too, to make connections between characters. It makes things so much easier in building a party.
I'll disagree on this one. I think the starting point is
Oh, I didn't say it was a starting point.
No, but I just maybe the most an important thing. I would say the important thing is to want to play your character.
Doesn't want to play their character.
Well, I would say if somebody's saying filling in a role, then you might actually be playing a role that you don't want to play.
Like, with my D&D character, like...
You've convinced me.
So, like, it actually, like, my D&D character, the Invoker, right? I said he was kind of like, he left the priesthood. I actually kind of built that in before, or I kind of thought about that. And then I said, you know what, my backstory fits the multi-class cleric feat. And hey, that gives us kind of a bit of a leader role when we didn't have one.
Right.
So even though I had kind of already kind of built it in before I took the feat and the fluff came first.
Right.
Yeah, it's a long rambling point, but I agree with you. Someone who's kind of...
Sorry, was my face getting away that I know where you're going?
Yeah. Someone who's kind of... I'm thinking, like, I wasn't forced to play a leader, but I didn't feel shoehorned, but there was a little bit of me who said, hey, we don't have a healer at all.
Right.
I kind of have to, and nobody kind of stepped up. Not that they would have to.
It would have been pretty hard for my guy to step up as the healer.
I agree, which is why I did it. Yeah. And not that I was, like, really unhappy with the choice, but, like, I feel a little bit shoehorned into that role. So someone who was completely shoehorned into their role, I could see not enjoying playing their character.
Oh, yeah, and that's what I was saying about party roles. I certainly understand that's good for the party. Mm. But, yeah, you could be conceivably playing a character that you're not going to be happy with.
Right.
And that's one reason why I don't like to nail down my personality, my character's personality. So I'm trying to figure out my own. Nail down my character's personality prior to the game. I know, Chris, you were actually kind of asking us some baseline questions, like, what would your character do in this situation?
Yeah.
And it was a little bit difficult for me to answer those questions because in the past, sometimes you kind of nail down, I'm going to be the Grim Avenger. Mm. And then you start playing that and go, oh my God, this is so boring being the Grim Avenger. I kind of want to lighten it up a bit or something like that.
Yeah.
So I like to give myself a lot of wiggle room on the personality.
Absolutely, and I think that's important in building a dynamic character is to not choose, this is what I'm going to do forever.
Right.
So yes, I agree.
All right, that's three, Lyle. Zero everybody else.
How about you, Luge? When you chose Pokey, like, have you ever felt restricted by that?
Yeah, his D&D character?
Yeah, that's
right. Because you seem to be the one who argued, party role, that's it.
I didn't argue, but that's what you said, and you said it pretty emphatically.
You're counting on the table, God.
What was the question?
Are you happy? are you happy with the role you have been given?
Or have you ever felt restricted by it, by having to choose that role? Because you also said you wanted to play a leader or a warlord or something.
Please answer, but I have the real answer. I have your real answer.
And it'll be four, Lyle.
Not really. I mean, because at least with the D&D rogue, I mean, you have enough options to play a controller, like, leaderish kind of... Oh, did I just walk into your...
You walked into my trap!
For those of you who couldn't see, Lyle did his patented into my hand gesture.
You just sauntered right in.
Did you finish your point?
That's fine. Let's hear Lyle's point.
Well, it's actually your point.
We're going to your point.
Make it for me.
This is Yujiro's point, as told by Lyle. I find that one thing that is quite interesting about your character is that he's dumb, and he's
we say that lovingly.
and he's quite, it's quite funny, and as like from a character point of view, it's great, and you're usually in character.
Oh man, that one time when you were just method sleeping.
And it's a really, really interesting character. It's really fun. But I think that you're actually a smarter player than your character. And I think
so.
And I think, yeah, you're not quite
illiterate.
You're not slow, but I think sometimes you chafe at the fact that your character is dumb.
Oh yeah, that's why I say I make suggestions and say, hey, Briggs, why don't you?
Or the number of times I've said, man, Pokey sounded real smart today.
Yeah. And I think sometimes, because on the flip side, you can have a person who's quite not maybe average intelligence, let's say, or stupid, or stone dumb, but they'll play the very intelligent character, and I think you know that's a mistake. Whereas in your
like me
situation, I mean, I think sometimes you chafe at that, and I'm wondering if you maybe regret. Basically min-maxing those stats and making yourself so stupid. Because I think you do.
That'd be four, Lyle.
So your answer is pointless.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's kind of where the out-of-character stuff comes in and where I can just say, hey, guys, I have this idea. You know, Pokey isn't smart enough to come up with it, but maybe one of you guys could toss it out there.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, as long as the idea gets across and the party, you know, successfully completes a mission or whatever, yeah, it's all good for me.
Right. Like, what do you think of that? I don't know if this is a tangent, but, you know, should dumb people play smart people? Should the computer illiterate person play the hacker?
Why not? I'm not a police investigator, but I play one on TV.
Yeah, and if you do if you do the research and that, then you can actually, kind of fake it. Obviously, we're not expecting somebody to go out and get like a, you know, pilot's license just because they want to play a pilot. But, it'd be nice if they knew vaguely what the cockpit is. It doesn't have a steering wheel or things like that. Or, I guess that's not called a steering
wheel. It's
called a yoke. Really?
Yeah.
So, obviously, I should
play a pilot. You are now forbidden from playing a pilot.
Ooh,
that'd be one crisp five.
Well, for example, I'm maybe the least adept at computers. So if we were to play of the group, not in the world,
no, I still realize that. Okay.
But if we were to play, like, let's say a science fiction setting,
yeah,
and I decide to play or even a modern setting, and I play the hacker, like, even if I did a little research, like, how successful would I be? I mean, you might, Chris, would it be safe to say that maybe Chris is probably the most adept as the kind of the website master for us? I mean, you might be kind of trying to throw in ideas. If you were like a fellow player, maybe you were playing the muscle, and I'm playing the, if we're playing Shadowrun and I'm the hacker or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, that might be frustrating for you as a co-player, is like, well, think of something.
Yeah,
well, I don't think so, no.
Oh, okay.
I mean, Chris could just toss out the idea and you could say, hey, my character does.
Yeah, but then I'm just kind of like, I'm the ventriloquist dummy for Chris's character.
Which I'm fine with.
Yeah.
I was going to say, sometimes I don't like the out-of-character stuff.
Yeah.
Which is, like, it's fine, but...
Because I know we're supposed to be, like, role-playing and expand your roles, but are there limits?
The game. Like, yeah. I definitely run D&D a lot more open, a lot more meta than like, the Vampire the Changeling games.
I've
noticed it, but I don't mind.
Like, I think that, I don't know, I think that because D&D is a lot more open.
Yeah, and also, like, it's a tactical game when you get into combat. Like, you need to discuss those tactical
options.
Yeah,
I've got to say that twice.
Yeah, that's part of it. So I've noticed that, but that's also something I don't mind. I just consider part of the game.
I was going to say, I agree with you about the why not, but I guess we'll see it from, like, a different angle. I mean... Is the dumb guy playing the genius really that much different from, say, me playing a fighter?
Yes, it is.
Okay. I'm waiting for the I'm waiting for the into my hand gesture.
The thing is a lot of times, like, combat, with any role-playing game, combat will take a large portion of the rules. Because that stuff is... It's just like if you ever played guns as a kid, and... You shoot the guy, oh, you didn't hit me, and you're like, oh, great. So that's why paintball and things like that come up, or crisscross. You know, I'm still alive. I mean, it can get quite frustrating if there aren't, like, set rules on whether or not you hit something and how much damage you do. So because that's so built into the system, and it's not really role-playing, I guess. So it is different in that the smart guy's actually got to kind of think of stuff, or they're basically just going to be parroting the DM. Okay, it's like, I'll make an arcana roll, and what do I know?
Yeah.
Okay, and then they just repeat what the game master said. That said, there is room for, if you are going to play a fighter, then, hey, why don't you do a little bit of research into
combat maneuvers.
Yeah, combat maneuvers. If you're going to play the martial artist, yeah, then look at that.
Did you do anything for that for your fighter in D&D?
I'd already seen Jumper, because he's an Eladrin, so he has face step.
Oh, man, that's which I love. I'm going to disagree on.
So I'd already seen Jumper,
yeah.
which is pretty good.
Nobody saw my grimace.
I liked it too.
And then of course like X-Men's Nightcrawler and stuff like that. So it's like I'd already like read all that. So that is definitely in the back of my mind when I do that. But also,
but those characters have almost nothing in common with the way you play him.
But
like I've been empowered by that research.
Nice. But okay, but I guess it kind of
when I jumped off the horse and teleported off the what?
I haven't seen someone did that happen in Jumper?
Yes, but not his personality.
Oh, but no, sorry, really, that's what I meant.
I thought we were talking about combat and tactical.
Yeah.
But kind of like you said, even if you even if you watch those things or do research, like you don't have to do it exactly that way.
Yeah.
You know, you at least have some knowledge of how the system or whatever this thing does work, like stock trading from what Wall Street movie you were just talking about.
Yeah.
Would not
want
to do that.
Which I have absolutely no idea how any of that crap works.
Yeah.
But once you've watched and you've done a little research, I guess you maybe understand a little bit of how it works, and you say, even if I don't use that specific idea,
yeah,
I can use that knowledge to come up with this one.
Well, I mean, I think that, like for example, Shia LaBeouf, that's the example you're using, is that I think he can now enter the skin of a Wall Street trader that much more successfully because he did that research. Even if you're not doing the same power stunts or whatever, but that can provide a springboard to something else. Mm. You know, you watch the martial arts movies and things like that. As far as personality, he's probably closer to a Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
There is the Swordmaster who teaches Ares. Ares?
Really? You told me that.
The guy who clicks his teeth a lot?
Yes.
Huh. And he has, he basically just got the practice sword when the Night's Guard comes in.
Yeah.
And then he takes them on, and I just thought, like, just that cockiness and, you know, pick up your sword, come at me again. Huh. Kind of thing. So that's actually where that Swordmaster came from.
Hmm.
I mean, how close he is now to what the original seed was is hopefully a little bit different because you make it your own. But
a year of play away, But I think Marius is very cocky.
Nobody's disputing that. I mean, we all know who plays.
You guys put a little bit yourself.
That's really not that much. That's not much of a role playing stretch. One for Wayne.
I claim an assist.
All right.
Anyway, but you asked the question. Do you think it's a big? Do you think? Getting back to the original question. Yeah. Do you think there's a big difference?
I do, as well.
Yeah.
It comes down to the mechanic. A lot mechanics. Of it, you can rely on mechanics.
Here's an interesting specific point. When I was pouring through the World of Darkness core book, the new one, under intelligence, they have solving enigmas.
Yes.
And so there's like a system for that, but like even when I was reading it, I thought it was kind of strange to just kind of like roll some dice and you have suddenly decrypted this cryptogram, or you have solved this puzzle.
Yeah, yeah.
But on the other, I don't know, on the other hand, there, if you build a character that you want to play, then the character may or may not have skills and knowledge that you as the player don't.
Oh, no, absolutely. I think that that actually is a good example, because I think something like that, like solving enigmas, not being a cryptographer or whatever, I think a lot of it is like internal, like in your head. So then a role is fine with that. But I think we're reacting with the environment or other people, then a little bit of like throwing out some terms or things like that. Absolutely. I think that is going to help. Like even a doctor, I mean, if you know like some basic stuff. I think you did the trick. The tracheotomy on your own, like so. I mean, that was great.
Nah.
Oh, was that me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Really?
You made that role?
I thought, huh?
Well, like I really like.
Oh, because the police reports that I wrote up for the Chris's detective all like praises that tracheotomy.
Yeah.
It's like, I didn't know I was praising myself.
But I'm perfectly fine with it now. All right, go me.
Awesome. Who's that genius? But I mean, like, no, given really, the CPR and things like that. Yeah, sorry.
I really like how you played that in the game, or how you ran that in the game. That, like, when we found a dead body, and we said, I only want to investigate it, well, what do you do? How do you look at it and stuff?
Yeah.
And even though I know nothing about CSI, like, I still tried to think of different places I could look, and you gave me
When you're going on, like, the composition and stuff like that, and I think it was also interesting is because you're actually... a supernatural being with like heightened senses and that, and then once you make that adjustment, as this is what a crime scene investigator would normally do, and now I've got all these supernatural powers, and then how do I combine those? And then I think that makes a really exciting synergy. But you have that kind of knowledge of what the mundane person would do, and then you slap your own powers and your own spin on that, and I think it makes it really, really exciting.
Yeah, and it is fun.
But if you're only coming at it from what was in the, like in the book, like you read, this power flying, I have flight, or you know, I have,
That's what helped in CSI. That.
Yeah, I was trying to think. that's a real bad example. I'm gonna fly up there, get this from like more bird's eye point of
view. Well, why don't you bring it back to D&D?
Hold on, there he is. he's just hiding behind there.
Mystery solved. If you bring back the D&D thing, like, or any like combat thing, like you build a combat monster, people are gonna get pretty bored. I swing my sword. I hit him.
And I think so, that's good. Is that like that Chris does reward people that kind of describe it. And put in that little bit of effort. You know, sometimes I think...
I should be describing...
You're just kind of shaking his head solemnly.
I should be describing a lot more as often as I miss.
We get pretty lazy sometimes.
Well,
but
I'm really excited about running Fate, because Fate is really good about that. Like the
it's got the aspects, right?
Yeah. So like I've how you describe that. Your attack is entirely about how it goes. Well, how you describe everything is... Wow, I can't wait.
That's I am so screwed.
Well, okay, so
I athletics my way across. That's maybe a classic line.
That was classic. Yeah. But like, I guess kind of similar to research is, I wouldn't classify it as research, but like watch or find something to get involved in the setting or like inspiration. Like you gave us, what, Near Dark?
Yeah.
You gave me Near Dark before we started playing Vampire.
Yeah, and I gave it to Yujiro and have never gotten it back.
Oh, yeah, sorry. One of these days. Yeah.
Have you watched it yet?
No.
Oh, jeez. Because I'll say, that it's surprising, because that movie actually really put me, that's what pushed me over the edge. Not pushed me over the edge, but that's what shook off that stupid South Park episode that was kind of blocking my character.
Oh, the Clamato?
Yes.
All right.
Then I kind of wasn't into vampires, watched that and said, that was really good, and then cracked open the vampire book, and it's like, and then I finally got off my ass.
No, it's good when, like, when the game master recommends stuff to players of, you know, you read this book or watch this movie and things like that to get you into it.
Yeah, so it's similar to research, but, like, even just watching a movie to kind of put you in the correct setting frame of mind.
The mood, yeah.
The put mood. You in the mood
puts
for
you
it,
in, yeah, put you in the mood. Wow, that sounds really dirty. But like you'll just pick up little stuff from that would count as research.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. So like for those of us who are kind of lazy, you know, just
like me.
I wasn't specifically saying you, Yujiro. But that even just doing that sort of should be enough to at least give you a feeling of maybe what your character would or wouldn't know or do.
Cool.
No, absolutely.
All right.
Yeah, sounds good.
So,
didn't you have a point about compel?
Oh yeah, yeah.
You didn't even do your C's.
Oh well, yeah, that kind of just bumble over them.
I've heard no C's.
Character creation. You heard
no, too. I made up a list of ideas that are good for characters, and they just all happen to start with C. Hence the list of C's. But no,
are there seven of them?
No, not
seven C's.
Yeah, I think that's pretty funny.
Wouldn't that be hilarious if
there were seven C's?
Yeah.
Sales.
Yeah. Oh, man. Is that your edit and post production hand signal? Oh man.
No, I thought that. Okay.
What? So didn't you have a thing about compel?
He was getting to it.
God, I hope that part gets edited out.
Not a chance in hell. Anyway. Compels. My recent character with Changeling, he doesn't have much of a drive.
Oh,
for
tell me about it.
Anything. Well, like when I created him, I was, because we went through such a long time of trying to get him set up.
So is this like a do as I say, not as I do?
Exactly.
Kind of point.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
I suppose it's just wishful thinking. Something that I wish I had in hindsight, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, but yeah, I think that's when creating a character, it's important to give them something that compels them to move to action. Yeah, something like they're on a mission or they have some kind of goal or what they're hunted or something like that. Just something so that the DM can use it if the story slows down and then like this character's got to move and do something.
I think that's a good point. I'm not a huge fan of backstory.
Not a backstory, but
it could be like a forward story even. Like once the game starts, then you kind of get a better feel for the Game Master's world, and then you can start to incorporate that world into, you know, whatever compels you. Find something that you like about it. I think that's, Wayne, you were saying that about setting, is find something you like about the setting.
Well, yeah. Or
you, and then use that to just drive you forward, but also then throw things to the Game Master and see what they'll use and that. You know, like maybe you'll fall in love with this NPC, or you'll develop this irrational hatred for that NPC or things like that. And then the Game Master can really run with that and then use that or abuse that, whatever would make the story more interesting. Yeah, so yeah, compel, I think, is really good.
It wouldn't even have to be an NPC, per se. It could be just like a piece of the setting.
Fall in love with the character?
You don't have to fall in love, but I mean, like, if you take...
slightly uncomfortable.
Wait, it doesn't have to be a person at all. Well, it could be completely internal.
Fall in love with an object?
That's what I was trying to say before Lyle cut me off, you know?
You're totally ignoring family members.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if you find something in the world that interests kind of you as a player, then yeah, you can use that as a motivating force. Hey, I want to find out more about this, or
exactly.
You know, that seemed pretty interesting. Let me go look over there. So you don't have to fall in love with it. It doesn't have to be another character,
but it should be something strong enough that it does drive your character to action, or at least away from inaction.
Oh yeah, definitely. I agree with that. As a game master, I wouldn't care how big or small the element you found an interest in was, so long as it was interesting enough to your character to motivate them. And it wouldn't even really have to be part of the setting. You know, a good game master should say,
well, like a story, a campaign should contain some kind of conflict, and by that some kind of compelling
I hope so.
One would hope, right? Otherwise it's not a story, it's life. But it's also good to have something that's individual towards the characters that the Game Master can use or even incorporate into his overall conflict.
Yeah, but I guess that's what I was saying. So long as, the character has an interest in something, then, the Game Master could use it. And it wouldn't even really have to be part of the setting. It could be something invented by the player.
Absolutely.
So long as the GM okays it. And then hopefully you don't have me for GM.
Yeah, you say no a lot.
Yeah, I know. I've, after listening to all the podcasts I've listened to, I've become acutely aware of my no-itis, and I'm trying to change that a lot.
That's actually one thing I'm really looking forward to talking about. And what is the next one for Campaign Confessions?
Well, actually, Campaign Confessions or the
episode? Or Morality.
Well, I don't know. Do we want to do the Christmas episode?
Oh, the Christmas episode. Because we haven't really talked about Christmas wish list.
Yeah, because it would be before Christmas. Well, there's two ideas. One will be talking about morality, alignment, and things like that, and motivation, if you'd like look at some systems, which is why we haven't mentioned that in this episode. Mm. Or we could be doing the Christmas wish list. So find out what Yujiro wants in his Christmas stocking.
Nothing.
How did I know you would say that?
All right, I guess we don't need to do the Christmas wish list episode.
Find out how much coal Yujiro gets in his stocking.
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah, I don't believe that. You want to know Yujiro's real answer?
Find out next week.
Find which J-pop star Yujiro would like to find in his Christmas stocking.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I want to know that.
Right. And right. We'll leave you at that.
Yeah, we'll leave you on that.
That is a beautiful image.
Yeah. All right, well, hopefully you'll tune in again for either the Christmas wish list episode or the Oh, the Humanity, a look at morality, humanity, and alignment, which would kind of be like part two to this character creation episode. Yeah. So hope to not see you then.
Yeah, nice one, yeah.
And we'll have a better closure. All right.
Bye.
See us online at www.idolredhands.com. Music provided by Tripod Jimmy, and the song was Roadkill. Hope you enjoyed it. See you next time.